Good Friday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're at Kitchen Notes, our home away from home. We love it here at the Omni Nashville Hotel. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos back at the studio. JoJo, how you doing?
This is the day, my friend, we have thought about since probably January, August 29th, football. College football started last night. We got big games tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, high school football tonight. The weather's perfect. I mean, praise the Lord. And it's National Jimmy Buffett Day to top it all off. So how can you not be in a good mood?
Well, I did, you know, obviously we love Jake Lyman and Next Man Up, and Connor Newt was on today. I listened to a majority of the show, but when I was making the drive into the Omni from the station, I did turn on a little Buffett.
You have to.
And it was one of those that, you know, sometimes you listen to music and you're just like, you're singing along, but you're not paying attention.
Right.
I for whatever reason, the lyrics actually, like, just stuck out with me.
Which one?
Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes. Like, just.
Yeah.
It's, and one of his newer songs, Bubbles Up.
Bubbles Up's good.
Yeah. So it was that one too.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of like, man, I was feeling it today.
I did the same thing. My message is one of his most underrated songs, Everywhere You Go, Take the Weather With You. And it took me years to figure out what he was talking about. It's always like, you're the weather.
Yep.
You are the weather. Take the sunshine, the happiness, and everything with you when you go. Be the weather. So the weather today is cooperating with us. Be the weather. Be the sunshine. And it's fantastic. I mean, it is absolutely beautiful. It'll be beautiful tonight. Beautiful tomorrow. I mean, I might cry during this show.
Yeah, I might too. You know, so our theme today is Jimmy Buffett, for sure, because of Jimmy Buffett Day.
Yep.
Well, you want to lead off with the question of the day, and then I'll say what I'm going to say about a certain football team that's south of here. And
I can. We're talking a lot of football, but in honor of Buffett and some of his great words. What's the greatest advice you ever got? What's the greatest advice somebody gave you along your journey in life, whether it's from your father, your mother, your grandpa, your neighbor? What's the greatest advice you ever got?
Man, there's a lot. I'm gonna say a few different things. My grandfather always had a phrase that started as like when you're walking on a street, but then I realized that there was a little more to it. Like, he applied it to so many things. Stop, look, and listen. And that was a thing that I heard so much as a kid and would roll my eyes at. And then when he passed, that was like, oh, there was like a deeper meaning to
right.
that, you know? And his whole thing was just, sometimes you just gotta just stop. Just stop worrying, look around, listen. So that was one. Several people, including yourself, have told me this next one. Be your biggest fan, because nobody else is going to be.
That's right.
So that's a good one. Let me think. There's more. There's definitely more. But those two were the first.
Good. Those are good. You know, there's one that my brother always said this one. Jimmy Buffett said it. And it's so simple, and you laugh about it. Just don't park like a jerk. Instead of jerk, we use another word that we can't use on the radio. And it's just – it means just don't park like a jerk. I mean, I was like, all right. And I've always taken that advice with me now 40 years. Just don't park like a jerk. And it's simple, but to me it's powerful. But anyway, 615-737-1025.
Yep, that is a good one. Now – for the big news of the day. So it's funny. I love our listeners. I love my friends, because I got tweets. I got texts from people. Hey, man, are you okay? Like, is everything – are you good? And at first I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I have no – yeah, I'm fine. Like, I have no idea, because I had not – this was around 4 o'clock yesterday. And like Ricky was like, hey, how you doing? You holding up okay, Chase? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, what's the something happened? Like, what's going on? Well, then I see the news that the Dallas Cowboys have traded Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers for what two firsts, and then I don't even remember who.
Defensive tackle.
Yeah, who's a good? He's a. I mean, he's not a bad tackle. I'm angry, so I'm not remembering his name right now. And honestly, and I say that, I joke, and like, I'm really not that angry. I'm just like, okay, it's yet another Jerry Jones. He's clearly lost his mind. Doesn't need to be doing this anymore. Steven needs to take over. I think Steven's actually pretty bright. I like Steven. And I just watched this whole documentary on Jerry, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, here we go. And he had the stones and audacity during the press conference, which he kept calling Micah Michael, to say, well, you know, that Herschel Walker trade put us in a really good position. I think this might do the same thing for the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm like, you dumb idiot. This is nowhere near that trade. You got two firsts that are going to be high firsts because Green Bay is going to be good because you just gave him the best pass rusher in football. Now, granted, I think that Micah had become, you know, like a lot of athletes, like pay me, pay me, pay me, look at me, only care about me, all those things, and had become a headache. So I get that part of it.
Yeah.
Of moving on. But, like, other GMs are probably sitting there going, like, well, I probably would have given up more or gotten more or whatever than what they ended up getting. So I was just like, eh, whatever. I'm used to it. And then my first thought was, there is one person on the face of this earth right now that is going, thank you. Thank you so much for making this happen. And his name is John Robinson.
True.
Because the A.J. Brown trade is no longer one of the worst trades.
Still pretty awful.
It's awful. But this is the worst. It's not. I would still say that the worst trade is probably Herschel.
Yeah.
From Minnesota side. This is number two.
Well, I think we need time to figure this out. Because what if Micah Parsons pulls a hamstring and misses nine games?
Yeah, true.
We knew that the Titans trade, who they got back and who they were to get with Burks and other people, were terrible. So, yeah. But, look, Jerry would – I just don't think he wanted to pay the guy. The guy's gone now, and I think he's gotten a lot of – the return on Dak and CeeDee Lamb has not been what he wanted, and he want to go through it again. I just think that, as a businessman, was looking at what's my return.
But it's still his fault. Like, he's the
one – of course
it is. He won't hire a general manager. He won't stay out of the way. He's done it for 30-something years since he bought the team,
right.
Almost 40 years since he bought the team. And like, I mean, what's he going to do now? He does this trade, and it all of a sudden just sparks the Cowboys, and they win the Super Bowl. Is he gonna be like, I told you I knew what I was doing?
Of course he is. Hell, I would too. I'd be there doing all that.
I was laying there watching SportsCenter last night, and I'm laying in bed, and I'm going, are they going to have to bring Jimmy back, like, at 80-something years old? Like, hey, Jimmy, can you come coach the Cowboys just to make all this right again? Like, I mean, it's just, oh, my goodness.
Would you leave Key Largo to go back and coach the Cowboys?
No.
I almost said F no and actually said the word.
I would stay down the Keys.
Okay. Yes. So, publicly, everything, like, would appear that they're good. But you know they're not. Like, you know they still can't stand one another.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though they'll pretend that they do. You know when Jimmy saw this news, Jimmy probably just started laughing.
Yep.
And just old, like, Jerry. He can't stay out of his own way.
Old Jerry. I mean, what is Jerry, 85?
82.
82.
Here's the thing. You have an organization, a franchise, that is worth like $12 billion.
Right.
If he sold it, he'd probably get 20. John McClain and I were texting. John McClain said this to me yesterday, and he's absolutely right. He'd probably get 20 for it. Yet he doesn't want to pay the best pass rusher in football. And I get it, the headaches and, you know, guy gets paid and all that stuff. But it, like, you think about the PR nightmare they're going through now. They have the opening game against Philly next Thursday night, which I already thought they were going to get their butts kicked. Now they're definitely going to get their butts kicked. And then I think it's week four on Sunday Night Football, they play Green Bay.
Yeah, it's in Dallas, right?
In Dallas.
Oh, man. That sets up perfectly.
Don't you know there's somebody sitting there like in Mark? Well, I guess we need to get Micah's video ready for him.
I wonder, right. I wonder if any other team made like a serious overture to Dallas about this. Because there were reports a few teams had reached out And I was like, no, please not the Titans. Although the return for the Titans would have been you probably getting a top five pick the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Packers, you're getting probably 26 to 30. Titans, you probably get anywhere from 1 to 5.
Right.
That's what you get off of that. So I don't know. But, I can't remember a trade happening this close to the opening game that has been like everybody. In fact, somebody made a joke. Adam Schefter tweeted out. He called Micah Parsons Micah Packers on his tweet. And somebody says, you know, Schefter was shaking when he made that tweet.
Yeah.
He didn't call him Micah Parsons. Yeah. Micah Packers got traded to the Packers. You know?
Like, am I believing this? Is this really true?
So it just it shook the foundation of sports all over. Like, how do you think you're getting better by letting your best player, and not just your best player, but the best pass rusher in football go? How are you getting better? And
if you are the Titans, would you call Jerry and say, hey, give me one of them first and something else, and we'll give you Jeffrey Simmons?
Oh.
knowing that you could fleece Jerry and get more draft picks to better your team and go ahead and trade Jeffrey Simmons, like, would you call them?
Absolutely. Give me your number one.
Like, I'm not pro trading Jeffrey Simmons right now, but if I know I could get a first and probably a second, or, you know, just absolutely fleece him.
Yep.
Because if he falls in love with a player, he's like, I want him. I give him to me. Steven, go get the jet ready.
Like, yeah, that would be – oh, yeah. If you get a number one, if you get a number one for Simmons, take care.
I'd want Dallas as number one because I know it's going to be bad. So I'd say you give me your number one this year, 26, a third – and then the number one you got from Green Bay next year.
Yes. All day long.
So overpaying. But if he's in love with a player enough, you could get that all day long.
Plus, you're out $19 million on your salary for the Titans, and you start building. Yep. I mean, really building. Hell yeah, man. Make some calls. You know people over there. Make a few calls.
I wish.
Call Terry McCormick.
615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our question of the day, which is presented by Aries Tactical, your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ArriesTactical.com, is what is the best advice that you have ever gotten? We'll read through some of those answers, plus get into much more. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 1025 The Game.
Hey!
Chasing Big Joe. 1025 The Game here on this Friday. It is Jimmy Buffett Day. National Jimmy Buffett Day.
National Jimmy Buffett Day, baby.
Because it's today when?
I think it was September.
September 1st he died.
Yeah.
So I knew it was around now.
Florida celebrates tomorrow. But everybody's like, hey, we'll start Friday through Monday to celebrate all weekend to do that. So that's it. And that's our question of the day. What's the best advice you've ever gotten in your life? The best advice you've ever gotten, 615-737-1025.
Let's see. I'm trying to find all this. Nick in Franklin says, it's wiser to listen more than to speak. There is a reason why we have two ears and one mouth.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Can't say any better than that.
Dylan says, my grandpa always told me, don't pour from an empty cup. In other words, you need to take care of yourself first before you can take care of anyone else. Well, that's a good one.
Pretty good.
Mitchell says, maintain at all costs.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
JD, yours is funny, but I can't read it. William says, the greatest advice I got from my late dad was to forgive and love life. It is too short.
You know,
that
is the toughest thing, to forgive, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's easy to say that, but it's the hardest thing to do is to forgive. I mean, we all need that. We all need grace and all that. But my goodness, so hard to forgive because you get so into some not liking someone or something, and boy, it can dominate your life in every facet.
Yep. There's a few people on our text line that need to forgive, too. That's my thing. Viking Matt says, don't eat the yellow snow.
That's a good one there, Viking Matt. Yeah.
Hair Metal Henry said, billionaire Ted Walsh spoke at a graduating ceremony and said, worry only about the things you can control. Everything else is wasted energy.
True. Right? It truly is. I mean, that's we talk all the time. Dr. Crane knows this one. We don't suffer imagined troubles.
Yep.
We don't.
I got it memorized.
I know this one too.
Yeah. I said all too often. Anyway, yeah. Hey, so last night, real quick, college football started, and there was a problem last night in the South Florida Boise State game that drove me insane last night. And nobody, Chase McCabe, wants to tackle anymore. And it drives me crazy. If you look at the effort last night of Boise State on defense trying to tackle, it is – they're pushing guys. They're pushing guys. They weren't tackling. I'm telling you, man, once they stop practicing tackling, it's gone to hell. Nobody wants to tackle. Boise State didn't want to tackle. Half of South Florida's team didn't want to tackle last night. The best tackling team I saw last night, Eddie George's team at Bowling Green.
Look, they did. I actually watched some of that game. Ran the kickoff back. 2 years in a row, they have run the kickoff back.
Yeah.
To start the season. I was laughing at they have that cat, the emotional support cat.
Pudge,
yeah. Which is cool. Good for them. They get the win last night. Cincinnati, Nebraska was a great game. I thought Cincinnati was he took a shot at the end zone, and I get that, but you didn't need to be that aggressive, and it got picked.
Yep.
You could have kicked the field goal and gone into overtime, but I agree. Tackling needs to be better. But last night was sloppy, but it always is. They don't, and I think this is why coaches are like, can we scrimmage? Can we have a preseason game or something? Because you see the first few weeks how sloppy everything really is.
Well, I mean, there was a couple of guys on Wisconsin's team, the linebacker and the strong safety, wanted to tackle. Most guys didn't want to tackle. Pushing guys, diving at their feet. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where it's awful that if I was a coach, we would tackle every – I can't stand Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
But he said 2 years ago they were tackling and they were like, hey, we got to stop tackling during camp. We gotta stop. And he's like, the process of trying to figure out why we shouldn't be tackling was something new to me. And they stopped tackling in practice. Should tackle all the time in practice. We all tackled in practice. It's just really – so watch it this weekend. Watch how bad the tackling is because they don't practice tackling. And that drives me crazy. We're now in a 7-on-7 world where 7-on-7 is the greatest thing ever. But they need to be tackling more. And it just drives me nuts.
I'm with you. I don't think you're wrong.
I'm sorry. There's a one of those open-air buses is pulled up, and then there's a lady sitting in the back who is a 15 out of 10. And she's waving back, hey, you. So that's where we are today. Anyway, it drove me crazy last night watching all that. And I tell you get the best tackling team now is going to win games because they want to hit you.
By the way, congratulations. I saw Vanderbilt put out there. They have sold out tomorrow's game.
Love it.
Which is awesome.
Love it.
The stadium's done. There's a lot of excitement around this team. One of their fans is here with us now.
Right.
And is excited about
Who can't get there and see the game tomorrow
no,
in person.
He can't. But he can watch.
But I, the phrase curb stomping always makes me laugh. And I think Vanderbilt needs to do that to Charleston Southern tomorrow. Very rarely is Vanderbilt in a position to do that. Do it tomorrow. Don't feel sorry for Charleston Southern. Beat the snot out of them. Win 60-0. Pour it on.
B-Man's best advice, never take Uber rides from Clay.
Boy, that's 100% truth on that.
No, but look, I think it's going to be a big night for Vandy. They need momentum to start the season, play well. I got most of their guys back, and just kind of see what happens.
Yeah, and that's it's a game for Vandy where if you can win big, 50-60-0, we could play so many other guys, so many young guys, get in there and play and taste it and feel it. Because next week you're in Virginia Tech. Week after that you're in South Carolina. So the odds of getting your two deep in there. Pretty nil. So get up tomorrow, let Pavia run wild and beat Charleston Southern, make them regret coming here, and win big and play a lot of the backups.
I mean, have we – okay, so you think about the 3 years Franklin was here, They had 9 wins the second year.
Maybe second and third.
And third,
year.
I think that was right. I think they had 9 wins both years. But the 9th win was the bowl game.
Yes.
Right. If they did that, I feel like if they did that now, that is not that that didn't have a great impact, because it did. I mean, that was a very important time. Now it means so much more, because you think about what an 8 or a 9 win season does for that program, with a transfer portal and NIL and all that stuff, that kids are going to look and go, huh, that's something I want to be a part of down there.
Sure.
And more so than it did when Franklin was here.
Oh, 100%. In today's climate?
And it's doable. Sure. You look at this schedule, it's doable. There are, including a bowl, you can find 9 wins. You just have to, they're going to have to, they can't have a Georgia State loss like they did last year.
No, you're right.
They need to, in the first 5 games, would be great to be 5-0, be 4-1.
Oh, exactly. Saturday Down South has their bowl predictions out after 1 game. They've got Vanderbilt taking on Memphis in the Gasparilla Bowl down in Tampa. Absolutely.
That'd be huge. That'd be great.
Go. Get into the postseason and play. But it all begins, you can't let Charleston Southern come in here. If Vanderbilt wins tomorrow 20-17, it does no good.
No.
You have to beat them good and really establish your dominance, because you go on the road now for 2 weeks, you get that confidence, you got Pavia rolling through, and the sky's the limit. I think they go 7-5.
Look, I don't know if they're – like, Missouri hung like 60-something on Central Arkansas last night.
Central Arkansas's not bad.
Do you know who the quarterback is?
Central Arkansas?
Yeah.
I do not.
He was at Middle last year as the backup and then went to Lipscomb Academy.
Is it Alex Brown?
No, it's
Levi Brown?
Nope.
It's a guy's name. I'm just going to throw guesses out there. James Brown?
Well, all right. Leroy Brown?
No, it's Luther Richardson. Richardson.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
He was never going to see the field at Middle anyway. Yeah. Yeah. He's a nice kid.
But he went to Lipscomb and now he's a starting quarterback.
At Central Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, I'm not saying you have to hang 60 on Charleston Southern, but it needs to be a pretty decisive
one. Oh, 100%. And there's one game on their schedule that I hope they do win 60-0 because of who the opposing head coach is. And you already know what game it is.
LSU?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, that's his former boss.
I'll be going to that game.
That's his former boss.
Yep.
And real quick, LSU did something in 2019, and I've told you this, I've never seen before, and anybody affiliated with Vanderbilt on that day should be fired. And that was the opening game of 2019. That was Joe Burrow and those guys. Some bonehead at Vanderbilt let the LSU band on the field before the game.
Clay's sitting right here.
Clay, why'd you do that, man? It was one of the worst decisions I've ever seen in college football. It's already 85% LSU fans. They let the LSU band on the field before the game. And I asked a Vanderbilt person, and they said, oh, it's Southern hospitality. We're being nice. I'm like, this is football. You'd be nice after the game. Don't do that. An LSU band came on the field and did that hold that tiger, whatever the hell they play, and the crowd went bananas. And LSU came running out that day. Don't do that again, Vanderbilt. One of the dumbest things I've ever seen any school do. Don't do it.
We'll have a lot more SEC and college football talk at 2:15. Peter Burns of the SEC Network will join us.
Get it.
At 2:15.
Nice.
So looking forward to our conversations with him. Again, our question of the day, what is the best advice that you have ever received? 615-737-1025. Well, coming up next, there's another game. There's a lot of games I'm intrigued by tomorrow. One in particular that I think a lot of you are intrigued by. We will discuss. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game. Little Jimmy Buffett on Jimmy Buffett Day. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Friday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. We have an audience, which is fun. We always enjoy that. Our supporter section. We appreciate those.
We do. We're like a soccer team now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What's the Dr. Kramer? What's the Nashville SC soccer support section called?
The back line.
The back line.
I was going to say we hate the racetrack, but no.
That's fair.
Just kidding.
How dare you?
Just kidding. Dr. Crane, how are you doing back there? I know you've been busy with everything.
I'm great. I cannot complain. Got a new muffler put on the car, and it sounds phenomenal. I'm extremely excited about it. So got to put some new window clickers on there to sort of go up and down. So we're going to do that today in between after the show and before the game tonight. So got some stuff to do.
All right, so if the muffler, you got a new muffler and it sounds good, does that mean you can't hear it?
That's correct.
Oh, look at us.
I like that.
Look at us.
All right, Kirk Cousins, I like that.
We're making things happen on the show. Well, good. All right, give us a quick Nashville SC update.
You know, they won their last game pretty big. Now they play tomorrow against Atlanta, or versus Atlanta here in Nashville. It's their last game until September 16th. So they're back on track. Obviously, they could have kind of got, I guess, out of their ways for the most part. Could have been up in the standings, maybe top overall. But they'll be okay. I think they'll be all right.
Why can't they just play like every other sport? Like, here's your 18 games. You play it between March and July, and here's your playoffs and that. Why is a soccer season so long? I mean, these soccer seasons are like my marriages. They seem to have lasted for eternity.
Yeah, I mean, you have your international breaks, which is one that's coming up now. A lot of international players for Nashville. I think Patrick Yazbek got called up for the Australian national team. Andy Nahar, right back, got called up for Honduras. So, yeah, Matthew Corcoran got called up for the U-20s men's national team for the U.S. So there's a lot of good product coming from Nashville.
God, that was the best non-answer answer I've ever heard in my life.
You're welcome.
You can be a GM. You're good.
Right.
Be good at that.
Hey, I wouldn't mind it.
So tomorrow Tennessee will take on Syracuse down in Atlanta. You know, I think it's so interesting that for the first time in a while we've had these conversations of, all right, Vanderbilt's got this momentum. How can they build off this momentum? Tennessee being a playoff team last year, I guess you can say that, but there's so many unknowns. I feel like there's more unknowns with Tennessee than Vanderbilt.
Why so?
Quarterback.
Okay,
I know what Vandy's quarterback is. I don't know what Joey Aguilar is yet.
That's a good point.
Because what he did at App State is great. That doesn't matter compared to what he's going to see in the SEC.
Well, what helps him out is that as he's got a top five defense for Tennessee. It's really, 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 really good. But don't have a lot of receivers. Running game, eh. So they get a hell of a tight end, which is really good for Tennessee. But I think, oh, man. I think they win. I don't think they cover. I think it was a spread 13.5. I think going down there and winning, you know, 28-17 or 24-14, just get a win tomorrow for Tennessee. However you do it, get a win. Not to be pretty, but just get a win. And then you got East Tennessee State next week coming into Knoxville to do that. But, look, Heupel's offense is complicated. We understand all that. But when it's run efficiently, it's a good offense. For example, South Florida. Mm-hmm. Same exact offense.
Yeah.
And South Florida ran it good. They up-tempo, hurry. If Tennessee kind of replicate that tomorrow, I think they'll be good.
Boise's quarterback got exposed last night.
Right.
He didn't have Genty anymore. And Genty covered up a lot of stuff with that offense. And South Florida just had their way.
Rushing the passer. Mm-hmm. They went after him. Yep. I just got to go after the quarterback, man.
Which Tennessee, I think, has that. I think they have a defense. Mm-hmm. So if they have a defense, then, you know, we'll see. But so you don't think they cover? It is 13.5. You don't think they cover?
No.
Think they win by 10?
Like, Syracuse, good team. I think they win by, like, 10, maybe 7. But if you win 24-17, just get the win. Just get – you don't have to get style points tomorrow. Get the win.
If they win – if they do win like 47-14, you know everybody's going to be like, ah, we're back.
They should be. Be a pretty good team. But now in 2 weeks, you got Georgia coming to town, so we'll see what happens then. But just worry about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just worry about tomorrow. Get the win tomorrow. We don't need to worry about anything else.
I just worry about today.
Worry about today, exactly. Yeah. Vanderbilt's the same way. Worry about Charleston Southern. You can't. Don't worry about Virginia Tech, South Carolina. Go out and beat Charleston Southern tomorrow.
The line has shifted in a game being played in Columbus, Ohio. Ohio State for most of the week was a 1.5-point favorite. Texas is now a 1.5-point favorite.
So explain that to me. It's not a lot of money's coming in on who?
Texas.
Okay.
So all the money coming in on Texas has shifted the line.
All right. Evidently a lot of money.
And there was circa $500,000 bet on Texas that really shifted it.
Okay, good.
So
good. It'd be, you know,
I don't know. Like I've been looking at this game backwards and forwards, and I initially wanted to say Texas, but I mean it's at the Shoe. Like this is gonna be, I think this is gonna be a really good football game.
Yeah, remember the last time we saw a game at the Shoe?
Yeah. We were here, weren't we? Yeah. We were in Barline.
That's right. They laid it down on Tennessee. And I think Ohio State likes – everybody talk about Texas. We're going to do our thing. But you know what? No matter what, kudos to Texas for playing that game.
Yeah.
Opening game.
And kudos to Fox for not moving it.
Yep.
Like, the best game of the day is at 11 o'clock.
Love it.
And then, you know, you got good games throughout. This is a better week one than we've had in a while.
Oh, absolutely.
I think this is a pretty good week one.
I mean, look at the schedule tomorrow. I mean, Tennessee, that game, you had, what's the 2:30 game? Alabama, Florida State.
Florida State, which I think Bama just destroys them.
I'm telling
14 you. 14.5 points.
If you could pick one game this weekend to go to, where would you go?
I'd go to Texas, Ohio State.
It's a great answer. For some reason, Clemson on a Saturday night.
Yeah, LSU, yeah, that's a good one.
I really hope Dabo face plants running down the hill because he tries to outrun his team. I want to see that happen, to do that run down there. I'm not a fan of that.
Can I? All right. We're talking a lot of college football today. So, I guess, like, Clemson's a 4.5-point favorite. I don't hate LSU. Like, I don't hate the university, the football team. I don't have any ill will against LSU. I cannot stand Brian Kelly.
Nobody can. Nobody likes
that
guy.
And so, therefore, and I like, I don't know, a lot of people don't like Dabo. I don't really care. I think Dabo's fine. I don't know. This is the Battle of Death Valley. Like, this is.
Right.
So, if you're ranking games, is this number two tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so.
Ohio State, Texas, and then LSU, Clemson?
I just love night games.
Oh, I do too.
I just think night games, and I get why Texas didn't change and Ohio State didn't change their game. I understand that. That's, they want it there. That's fine. But something about a night game tomorrow night in Clemson. I've never been to a game in Clemson. I've heard nothing but wonderful things. I've been to several night games at LSU, and my goodness. But you know what? Neyland's great. Ben Hill Griffin's fine. I mean, Saturday night in the South is great.
Our friend Gator Mike is here. Your Gators taking on Long Island University tomorrow. There is no line for that game, so.
45.5.
Yeah. 45.5? Okay. Yeah, maybe.
Do you know what goes in a Long Island tea?
Right.
All the clear liquors. Just remember that.
Yep.
Okay. USF next week. All right.
Georgia's playing Marshall. Is Marshall supposed to be good this year?
No.
No?
Their coach went to Southern Miss and took, like, the entire program with him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So Marshall has to play Georgia, then they play the coach, then they play MTSU.
Okay. So
all down the line.
So hopefully they're 0-2 by the time they get to Marshall.
Oh, absolutely are. You know, we had the Austin Peay coach on yesterday. Mm-hmm. They play Middle.
Jeff
next
Ferris.
Week they play at Georgia.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They do play at Georgia. So – Tough ones for them. So
Long Island. Long Island's got a football team.
Look, week one of the college football season in the NCAA tournament is when you learn that there are schools that exist that you had no idea existed.
Right. I had no idea, like, Long Island had a football team.
I didn't know Incarnate Word existed until like 3 years ago. That's why I wasn't that surprised when they're like, oh, yeah, Cam Ward went to this place called Incarnate Word. I'm like, I've heard of them.
Yeah, right.
I think they played Vandy and basketball or something. They played somebody. And I was like, what the hell is an Incarnate Word? what is that?
And they're rolling on. There was another game yesterday, too. I know Bowling Green, Eddington played Lafayette. But there was another game. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. They got a football team that's going on. I didn't know that. But, yeah, so good. So Long Island. Mike, Gator Mike, if Long Island beats Florida.
Just resign at that point.
Oh, that's right. Georgia Southern didn't throw a pass, right?
No, they threw three.
Three passes? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
615-737-1025. It's Chase and Big Joe. We're live at the Omni with our audience today that continues to grow, and
yep,
we appreciate that.
Love it.
We'll have more coming here on 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game on this Friday, live at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. 615-737-1025. And Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And I've been talking a lot of college football. You can catch Big Joe alongside Chip Walters tomorrow on 93.3 Totally Hits. As MTSU hosts Austin Peay, pregame begins at 4:30, the kickoff at 6 o'clock. You can also listen on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. So looking forward to that. That'll be a good one for sure. We've talked to both coaches this week. And then next week, MTSU goes to Wisconsin.
On the road.
We'll be with them. Camp Randall.
Did you watch the game last night?
I did. Wisconsin didn't look very good.
Not at all. Because they had that quarterback that came in and got injured. And maybe Luke Finkel's just not a good coach. Maybe his best friend's a better coach than him.
I think Luke Fickell's a good coach at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I think he did a really good job there.
Did I call him Luke Finkel?
You did.
Good Lord.
That's okay.
Like Rafe, that's Rafe Finkel's brother.
One week we're going to stink, and this guy sucks, and then I suck.
Now that he's gone, those drops just make me laugh. So they made me laugh when he was here, but now it's like really funny.
Probably not.
I don't know who this is on the text line, 1053, but it made me laugh. Chase, I'm watching the stream, and I must say your receding hairline looks fantastic today. Joe, you look like a big, bald version of Guy Fieri.
I'll take that.
I don't know who you are, but that was pretty funny.
I did. Well, I tell you, I did the Jack Daniels barbecue in 2006. This is a true story. To my right was Guy Fieri. To my left was Johnny Majors.
Oh, wow.
It was – and he was just starting out, and Johnny Majors looks at me and says, "Hey, man." I said, "Yeah, coach." He's like, "What the hell is wrong with that boy's hair?" Talking about Guy Fieri. I was like, "Oh, I don't know, man." But, yeah.
Oh, boy. I bet that was something. We started the show talking about the Micah Parsons trade, and I threw out there, you know, should the Titans call and say, like, "Hey, you give us some of them picks, we'll give you Jeffrey Simmons," you know, knowing that Jerry's just, you know, lost it at this point. Do you think that's going to actually be a thing now where teams are going to look at this and go, "All right, we can take advantage"? I don't know who else. I mean, CeeDee Lamb would probably be the next one if you're willing to take the contract. But
we say that jokingly, but say that again.
What, the Jerry's lost it?
But how you, like, take advantage
take
of that.
Take advantage of that, yeah.
I mean, it's actually kind of sad.
No, I know.
Right?
And here's what I don't understand. And watching again, I just watched this documentary. So the way, I mean, Jerry obviously is an owner, but all the kids are listed as co-owners.
Okay.
So I don't know how it's all set up, but could Steven, Charlotte, and Jerry Jr. get together and say, "Hey, Dad, why don't you let us run it?" But it's like they're all afraid of him. I mean, that's really, like, Steven's there with them on everything because Steven's the heir apparent. Pretty much that's going to run like the day-to-day, but he like it's almost like there. I'm watching this last night and he's sitting there and he keeps calling him Michael, and Steven's like, "Micah, it's Micah," like having to correct him. It's like,
maybe you're on, maybe this is something larger.
Like, I don't know, but if it is, that's what I'm saying. If there is something, why would you let him continue to make decisions?
Was this a question when Bud got old, like the last two or
probably
3 years of his life? I think it was. I think it was something like, "All right, sometimes you got to peel yourself back just a little bit from that."
By the way, speaking of Bud, I meant to there's a part in the, remember when Jerry sued the NFL and they sued him, they countersued him because he had the Nike sponsorship. He kept doing sponsorships on his own, and back then it all had to be, it was all or nothing.
True.
And so, like, it pissed the other owners off and everything, and they sued him. Well, there's a scene where they're all walking out of a courtroom, and there's Bud just kind of, like, walking along.
Was he by himself?
Yeah. I mean, he was walking out with some of the other owners. But, like, Jerry Richardson was still around. And
oh, man.
Bud and who was it with Cincinnati? Like, all of the old owners.
Paul Brown?
Yeah, all the old owners.
How was Bud's toupee looking that day?
It was looking good.
He had some sweet-ass toupees throughout the years.
Yeah.
That he did all that. I didn't know that Bud – I know it now, but held the largest Native American collection of anybody in the world.
Yeah.
He had more artifacts.
Didn't John tell us that?
Might have been, yeah. More of all that. And then off of that, I did not know that Phil Collins has more Alamo artifacts than anybody in the world.
Huh.
He gave most of it back, though.
I feel like we need the more you know, like the NBC.
See, we are an all-encompassing show here.
Yes, we are. Coming up next, we're going to talk to our man Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver. We'll get some college thoughts on with him and also the Titans. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.